SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, you are. As we get going for the regular season finale in week number 18 in the National Football League, live right here on Football Full Circle in the Sports Grid Radio Network. I'm Ben Stevens. You barely heard from me in the intro of that show because Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, was bringing that heat in his summation of Mike McDaniel's first year as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins with a must-win game for the Fins on the horizon that we have an update for entering the weekend. Joe Lisi, you're going to bring some more of that steam as we get ready for the regular season finale in the NFL.
No, of course, Ben. Why not? This is what it's all about, right? The final stretch run before the playoffs, week number 18. Everything's hanging in the balance, and if you're the Miami Dolphins, it's now or never. Skylar Thompson, the former K-State quarterback, needs to get this victory. Last time he stepped up in a similar type of situation against the New York Jets, got absolutely boat raced. What was it, 40-19 in MetLife? So hoping for a better performance, hoping that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle can carry this team, and that defense really needs to be opportunistic against Zach Wilson. This is a perfect spot to potentially steal a win, but it's now or never for the Miami Dolphins.
It is a must-win game for Miami. It is the rookie out of K-State, Skylar Thompson, facing off against Joe Flacco for the New York Jets. Mike White is out for this final Sunday of the NFL regular season. Zach Wilson is still going to be the backup. Joe, we'll get to all of the scenarios. There's a ton of work to do on today's episode of FFC to highlight all of the potential possibilities for clinching a playoff berth, the postseason seeding at stake on this final weekend. All of that here on Football Full Circle. But Joe, for most of this week, football games and the outcomes of them have felt insignificant, certainly paling in comparison to the health and the condition of Buffalo's DeMar Hamlin. Joe, in the last 24 hours, since we left each other here on FFC yesterday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have received a bounty of good news, hope, and optimism entering this final weekend of the NFL regular season, including Joe on Friday morning. From NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, this is amazing. For the first time, the Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is addressing the team via FaceTime. The breathing tube is out, and he spent the morning speaking to various teammates on FaceTime. Now he's delivering a message to the entire group. And Joe, they spoke with the media, did the Buffalo Bills, after that team meeting where DeMar Hamlin FaceTimed in. That was a surprise to the Bills team. They were not expecting necessarily to speak with DeMar, certainly not at this point. He FaceTimed, he flexed a little bit, flexed both biceps for him, gave the trademark heart that he makes to show his compassion and his character, and finished with a simple message of, I love you guys. And now the Buffalo Bills get ready for action in week number 18. Joe, this hope, this positivity, this optimism, truly remarkable to be where we are right now, just a few days after DeMar Hamlin collapsed due to cardiac arrest in a horrifying scene on a Monday night in Cincinnati. To think where we are now, the page that we have turned, still a long recovery process to go, but already the progress and the optimism that DeMar Hamlin has had, Joe, it is truly miraculous and remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, the best situation that we've heard all week, right? And at the end of the day, a lot of respect goes out to the CPR, administration by the Bills staff in terms of their trainers and the Cincinnati staff for taking care of him and recognizing that it wasn't just a regular type of injury or a situation where, you know, it was an immediate response. And that's the best thing, I think, that, you know, brings support not only to DeMar Hamlin and the Buffalo Bills, but the league in general, right? We said it all week long that, you know, if that type of situation happens, that was the best situation to happen on the football field, an NFL game, because of the type of personnel, because of the type of equipment that they had readily available to support him and bring him back to life. And this is now the final step. A miracle occurred. It's amazing. Our thoughts and prayers still go to DeMar DeMar Hamlin and his family. But, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody needs to have the respect. I mean, everybody around DeMar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills, the trainers, the doctors in Cincinnati's hospital, they all deserve respect and just a hand of support. You know, they did a miraculous job in terms of caring for him and bringing him back to life. And this is an amazing story that hopefully will be told for the next 50 years, right? And brings everyone together, Ben.
True heroics, Joe Lisi, because we also learn from his doctors at the UC Medical Center that assistant athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills, a man by the name of Denny Kellington, he was the guy that got out there first, recognized that this was not your normal run-of-the-mill injury, and acted within moments to resuscitate DeMar Hamlin. He was said that the efforts of Denny Kellington were vital, absolutely vital, in making sure that DeMar Hamlin is where he is now, that any of this progress is possible. A few more thoughts on that in the rest of Week 18, up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A ton to get to here on Football Full Circle, live right here today on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM, channel 159. He's Joe Lisi, I'm Ben Stevens. And Joe, the focus this week in the National Football League has been outside of the actual sport in between the white lines. It has been on the health and the status of Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. Tons of good news and optimism over the span of the last 24 hours. We got note this morning that DeMar Hamlin's breathing tube has been removed. He is now able to speak. He has been FaceTiming into Buffalo Bills team meetings to share his wishes and his words with his teammates as well. And they look to get going for their Week 8 regular season finale against the New England Patriots. Joe, just a couple more things about the human being and the individual this week that DeMar Hamlin has been and what he represents, of course, to his Buffalo Bills organization, the NFL, and really the good of sports in general. We know about the impact that DeMar Hamlin has always wanted to make in his community of Pittsburgh and elsewhere. We know about the Chasing M's Foundation. At last check, Joe, approaching $8 million in donations that brings everybody together, a restoration of that human faith even in the darkest of times. And we heard Joe for the first time since Monday night from the Buffalo Bills at a press conference on Thursday afternoon. The leaders in that organization, Joe, both in head coach Sean McDermott and their quarterback Josh Allen, and what they have provided for that entire organization this week is next to none. Sean McDermott saying very impactful words yesterday about how one tries to cope with something like this, if even possible, and placing a priority on one's mental health and making sure to do so. Josh Allen saying that he'd be lying to you if he didn't think that they would be affected moving into this game. The next time that he and his teammates step out onto a football field, there is going to be some lasting impacts from what they were witnessed and what they were a part of on Monday night, this week, next week, maybe for the rest of their football playing careers. But one thing stood out to me, Joe, among the rest, and that was Josh Allen sharing a story of Mario Hamlin, DeMar's father, zooming in to speak with the team on Wednesday night. And what he said to Josh, as Josh Allen relayed it in the press conference yesterday, was virtually that Mario Hamlin said, "I tell you guys this." And Josh was like, he stopped himself. He didn't even tell us. He more so demanded that we get back to work because we have set these goals this year with DeMar a part of that process. These goals, his as well, that he has contributed to and has been a huge component of all year. The goals of winning an AFC title, the goals of being in the Super Bowl and possibly hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. When Josh Allen said those words, Joe, you could tell how much of a relief that DeMar Hamlin's updated condition was and all of the good news we have seen. And you could tell what it meant to these Buffalo Bills the rest of this season. Truly impactful here heading into week number 18.
Yeah, and they've had a tumultuous week. I mean, from an emotional standpoint, the highs, the lows, back to the highs again, I mean, it takes a toll on your physical body. So now that that's behind them, and obviously DeMar is recovering, they can focus on football. It's not going to be easy, but at the end of the day, we've seen this team show a ton of resolve, right, in terms of switching landscapes with this blizzard and just being games being moved. If there's any team that can do it, I believe it's the Buffalo Bills. And to your point as well, that's what football players, especially at an elite level, need to hear, because they just react, right? At the end of the day, if you are thinking or you are complacent or you are, let's say, a little shy about taking on a hit, or you're thinking about DeMar in any capacity in a negative attribute, that could obviously injure somebody. You know, you could, there's neck injuries. Yeah. There's other injuries that could happen, ACLs and lower body injuries. And so you need to get that out of your mind. And I know it sounds like, well, how could you do that? But you have to, because at the end of the day, what makes these players so special is that they read and they react on a dime, in a millisecond. And once, if you do lose that, then you're not only putting yourself at risk, you're putting others at risk by walking out to the football field. So Mario Hamlin, I'm glad that he said that as well. And at the end of the day, it does move on, and they have their sights right now, and only time will tell. You know, I'm not going to play the Buffalo Bill game in terms of the gambling perspective. It's more of a wait and see approach to see how they do react, maybe in the first quarter or so, to see if they get those kinks out. But at the end of the day, I still believe this is one of the best teams in the NFL, Ben.
Certainly so, Joe. And I think that's what Josh Allen alluded to as well. He said, now knowing what we know about DeMar Hamlin and the massive strides that his recovery has taken just in the last 3 days, they were out on the practice field yesterday conducting their first full practice since Monday night with smiles on their faces and threes up in the air to honor their teammate in DeMar Hamlin. They will wear a patch of the number three on their jersey this week to pay respect to DeMar Hamlin. Teams around the league will offer up an announcement before the national anthem that makes sure that everybody still has that as our focus as well. The understanding of how significant this final weekend of the regular season is going to be, but also the well wishes as we continue to prioritize DeMar Hamlin and his health and his return as quickly as possible. So, Joe, as we get going here, entering week 18, there is also the football side of the equation. The NFL ruling late last night that the Monday night football game, week 17, between the Bengals and the Bills will not be resumed. It has officially been deemed a no contest. So what that means for the overall postseason implications, Joe, on the AFC side of things, looks a little bit confusing. We'll try to make it as simple as it possibly can be stated. Because, Joe, now the seeding is going to be decided by win percentage. So what that means overall for this potential will play out this week, and we'll present it based on the chalk. But pretty much, Joe, it's as it goes. If Kansas City wins this weekend, they're a 9.5-point favorite against Las Vegas. The Chiefs, based on win percentage, will be the number one overall seed in the AFC. If Buffalo wins, they're number two. If Cincinnati wins, they're number three. The Bengals virtually locked into the three spot, but we'll explain where a potential wild card matchup in the postseason could be played in just a moment. But, Joe, everything now boils down to winning percentage. It has not necessarily been totally approved by the owners, who will vote on that before week number 18. And Joe, there was never going to be a perfect system based on what unexpectedly occurred on Monday night to figure everything out with the playoff implications. But do you think this is the best call for the NFL moving forward?
I do. I mean, I mean, we talked about it last night in terms of Carver and I. And what are you going to do? Somebody in the short term is going to get screwed. Is it going to be Buffalo? Is it going to be Kansas City? Is it going to be Cincinnati? At the end of the day, it's those three teams in the AFC and everyone else, at least in my opinion. I don't believe it's not even close. There's a significant drop off when we're talking about those three teams to everyone else. Now, you can't hurt the Buffalo Bills, and you can't say, okay, we'll put Buffalo at the disadvantage. So on top of dealing with this situation, we're going to give them a negative road to the playoffs. No, you have to equalize it to some capacity, and they did that, right, obviously with the neutral site game. Should it be obviously Kansas City, Buffalo both win this weekend, or they both lose,
right,
it'll be on a neutral site game. The one team that you can say maybe got slighted is Cincinnati at the end of the day, because, right, you know, they were in the mix, and I get it. But what's the right scenario, Ben? I mean, to play the game, what, a week
right
from
one,
now,
right,
push back a playoffs? That's not going to do anybody any good, and it's going to disrupt the whole timing of the wild card round. I don't like it. So at the end of the day, I think it is the best scenario. And you know what? Let the chips fall where they may right now.
Joe, it's a really good point. There is no right scenario. There is no perfect scenario entering week number 18. There is only what could possibly be salvaged from a situation that nobody, of course, wanted to be in. We'll present all of the scenarios, what it all means, what is at stake, what the numbers tell us about the most possible of all of these potentials coming up next here on Football Full Circle. We'll try to do it as concise and as simple as we possibly can. Those discussions up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Number 18 of this regular season, there is a ton to discuss. Joe, the potential that has been presented by the National Football League is what is at stake for the seeding in the AFC. It is pretty simple when you boil it down to who wins this weekend, what the actual results this weekend would say for the AFC seeding once we get to the playoffs. With that being said, Joe, anytime a hypothetical or a what-if question is put in, obviously it allows debate and people to voice their opinions of either pleasure or displeasure in how they view it. Joe, we're going to do this through the numbers, because if Kansas City wins this weekend, the Chiefs will be the number one overall seed in the AFC based on win percentage. KC, Joe, is a 9.5-point favorite against Las Vegas. If Buffalo wins this weekend and Kansas City wins, the Bills would still be the number two seed based on win percentage, and Buffalo is a 7-point favorite against the Patriots. An eventual AFC title game matchup, potentially between the Chiefs and the Bills, would then be played on a neutral site. If Kansas City loses this weekend and Buffalo loses this weekend, an eventual AFC championship game matchup between those two teams also would be at a neutral site. And then if Cincinnati wins this weekend, Joe, and Kansas City loses this weekend, and Cincy and KC would have a rematch in the AFC title game, that would be at a neutral site as well. Those are the three potential possibilities for a neutral site contest in the AFC championship game. But, Joe, what is most likely here, if we were to look at the odds in the chalk, as the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite against Las Vegas on the road against the Raiders, the Buffalo Bills a 7-point home favorite against the New England Patriots, and the Bengals are now a 9.5-point favorite against the Baltimore Ravens, is that all three of those teams, Joe, as the odds would indicate, at least win outright. So it would be KC 1, Buffalo 2, Cincinnati 3. The Bengals are slightly, I don't want to say screwed, but they get the short end of the stick necessarily there, because they would have won then 9 straight games to end out the regular season. But if they were to end up having to go through Buffalo, and that game would be played in Buffalo in the AFC divisional round, and then go through Kansas City, if all three teams win, Joe, the eventual AFC title game in that scenario between the Bengals and the Chiefs would still be in KC. So since he does get the short end of the stick, and there are some reports around the NFL that the Bengals are trying to whip up no votes for the owners meeting today that will ultimately ratify this potential plan based on win percentage. So Joe, that's how it lays out as concisely and as simple as we can present it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's what we need. We need pandemonium and upsets, right? That's what you need. Obviously, you want to see potentially Las Vegas step up and maybe knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't say it can't happen. They went toe-to-toe with the San Francisco 49ers, pushed them to overtime. Jared Stidham over 350 yards, like we mentioned. So at the end of the day, you can never say never. I mean, traditionally, the Raiders, you know, dislike the Chiefs, and they play very close ball games. That game earlier in the year was 31-29. They missed a two-point conversion. They were in a position to potentially kick a game-winning field goal. Davante Adams was out of bounds. I mean, so you can't say it can't happen. I mean, there's still guys fighting for contracts and still fighting for maybe jobs on other teams or organizations. So you would hope that they could step up. I mean, the spread indicates that Kansas City is just going to boat race them, but at the end of the day, it's still a road game. You never know. And so if that happens on Saturday, then it's game on, right? Then it really tunes in to Sunday afternoon in terms of the 1 o'clock action. I will say that Cincinnati, I think, is probably the most dominant in terms of all the matchups just because of where the Baltimore Ravens are with Huntley at the helm. They haven't stepped up, and I'll just take it a step further, not to go off track, but if Baltimore doesn't get Lamar Jackson back in any capacity, or he's going to start this first game in terms of a playoff environment, good luck, because he's been out a month. I don't know what's going on, but that team really needs to assess how they're heading into the playoffs.
He hasn't even practiced, Joe, by reports, due to that PCL sprain in his knee, that being Lamar Jackson. And the line, when it came back up for the Bengals and the Ravens earlier this week, was at 7. It's now at 9.5 because it might not even be Tyler Huntley. It might be Anthony Brown, the rookie out of Oregon, making the start for the Ravens. They've already clinched their playoff berth, but, Joe, there's another wrinkle to that potential Week 18 plan for the NFL based on win percentage, because based on win percentage, regardless of the result between the Bengals and the Ravens to end out Week 18, the Bengals win the AFC North. So they have already clinched the AFC North divisional crown for a second consecutive year. However, if Baltimore pulls off the upset, again, as a 9.5-point dog on the road in Cincy, they would have swept the season series in a potential AFC wildcard playoff game between these two divisional foes in Cincy and Baltimore. Home field for that game, Joe, would be decided via a coin toss. And again, to those reports that Cincinnati has an issue with this potential plan, it's mainly on the coin toss, not their seeding for a run through the AFC postseason. That's all that we have at stake here, Joe, for the top spots in the AFC. And again, heavy favorites in these games, Joe. KC 9.5 against the Raiders. Buffalo 7 against New England. 9.5 in favor of the Bengals against the Baltimore Ravens, who might be playing their third string quarterback, the rookie out of Oregon, in Anthony Brown. So, Joe, as you look at the top of the AFC now, assuming it goes chalk and it's 1 KC, 2 Buffalo, and 3 Cincinnati, who do you like to emerge out of the AFC as the title winners in the conference when all is said and done?
You know, I wanted to back Cincinnati, but it's looking like the cards are stacked against them. I'm going to go with Buffalo. I'll still go with Buffalo because of the situation with DeMar Hamlin, that he's out of the woods now and he's up and recovering. I think that'll be an added benefit. I still think Josh Allen is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks. And at the end of the day, I believe in their defense as well. And in the type of playmakers that they have now, Cook, Singletary, in terms of the running backs, I think that'll be an added benefit. I'm always a big believer in Dawson Knox and Diggs and Gabriel Davis. I know they might have to go through Kansas City, but at the end of the day, I think they're built a little bit better for a playoff run right here, right now, than the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's not forget, they got the victory 24-20 in the regular season, Ben.
It is true. It is certainly true. Buffalo did beat Kansas City in the regular season. The Bengals also did beat KC in the regular season and last year in the AFC title game in Arrowhead. Joe, right now the odds reflect that scene with Kansas City just needing a win on Saturday in the first of two of the doubleheader to clinch the AFC's number one overall seed. The Chiefs are now the favorites in the AFC at plus 175. Buffalo, the second best price, only 25 cents behind at 2-1. And Cincy rounds out the group of the big three at plus 420. Joe, to echo your point that you said earlier, there is really a drop-off, both in terms of talent and what we expect out of these teams and what the odds say as well. Cincy has the third best price to win the AFC at plus 420. The Chargers have the fourth best number, but it's 12-1, nearly an $8 drop-off. So, Joe, let's keep diving through the AFC. That's the top of the seeding line based on win percentage. Again, if Baltimore beats Cincinnati, there is a potential, Joe, for Baltimore to move up to the 5 seed if the Chargers then lose to the Denver Broncos. And right now, the Chargers are actually 2.5-point underdogs. But L.A. will know their status for that game because they play at 4:25 Eastern time, and the Bengals and the Ravens kick off at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So more than likely, Joe, what we're going to be looking at is Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2, Cincinnati 3. If KC were to lose and Buffalo then wins, the Bills would have the better win percentage. They would be the number one overall seed, and everything in the postseason would track through Buffalo. With that being said, though, Joe Lisi, as we play out the rest of the AFC, the 5 spot currently is the Chargers. The 6 spot currently is the Ravens. We're still looking for that 7th and final AFC playoff spot, but we're also looking for the 4 seed. That would be the champion out of the AFC South Division. It all comes down to tomorrow night, Joe, on a Saturday in Duval County, the Jaguars and the Titans. A 6.5-point spread in favor of the home team in Jacksonville. Joe, we've broken this game down a ton. Here's my thought on it, by the way. Yes, Vrabel and the Titans have much more of that postseason experience overall up and down their roster. Doug Peterson, of course, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, but Trevor Lawrence hasn't had the NFL playoff experience up until this point in his second year in the league. I don't really get how the line is 6.5. I still like the Jaguars to win the game outright, but I think the spread should be closer to a field goal, Joe, than it is to a touchdown where it currently stands.
And you want to take it a step further. Think about the discrepancy in the AFC championship market. They have Jacksonville 24-1. They have Tennessee 85-1. Now, I understand, obviously, with the quarterback situation and everything else, but that's basically telling you the book believes there's no shot that Tennessee can make a run in the playoffs at all. Right? I mean, right. Think about it. I mean, 85-1, they're priced right there with the Pittsburgh Steelers right above them, and Pittsburgh's 180-1. So, I mean, the books seem to love Jacksonville right now. I understand they have the Ferrari type of offense with Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and those wide receivers and playmakers. But at the end of the day, it's playoff football. This will be a playoff game. And in playoff type of games, the teams that run the football the best ultimately win ball games, and that favors Derrick Henry, and that favors the Tennessee Titans, no matter who's quarterback. Josh Dobbs, Malik Willis, you want to take a kid out off the street and throw him under center, as long as Derrick Henry gets the football 90 times, and I'm being a little exaggeration, they should win this ball game.
A little exaggeration, Joe, but probably not by more than 30, right? You want Derrick Henry or somebody on the Tennessee Titans to run the football 55 to 60 times if they are going to have success. Keep this game ugly and grind it out, and maybe Tennessee prevails. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Joe, for most of the show, as we have focused on the playoff implications in the AFC, we'll get to the NFC in just a few moments, we have focused on the top of the charts, the number one overall seed, the win percentage model that has now been put out, that plan by the National Football League. But now we'll go to the third and final AFC wildcard spot. The only team, Joe, that controls its own fate in the wild card chase is the New England Patriots. But again, they're a 7-point dog against the Buffalo Bills on the road in Western New York. That is going to be an emotional game. Joe, you've already mentioned that you are not going to play it, but who do you think ultimately comes out with the victory just outright in this case?
Oh, Buffalo. I mean, there's no doubt. I can't see another scenario. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not to take away from Belichick, Mac Jones. I just don't think they're built to beat the Buffalo Bills in any capacity. I just don't think they can man up in terms of the interior. I think their offense is pedestrian and one-dimensional. I think Buffalo shut down the rushing attack and force Mac Jones to beat them over the top, and that's where they're limited. Until New England takes a different approach, okay, this isn't Tom Brady back there making everyone around him better. This is a second-year pro in Mac Jones that does not have, I'll repeat, does not have elite speed on the perimeter to run off opposing secondaries to open up the rushing attack for Ramondre Stevenson and those running backs. So until that happens, this is a one-trick pony. You know what? Maybe Buffalo comes out a little flat, but in the end, they still find a way to gut this victory out. I think they win it by double digits. I mean, if they're on, like I think they'll be on, I mean, they should win by 17+, but again, I'm not playing it because of, obviously, the situation with DeMar Hamlin. I want to see how they react and respond in the first quarter.
Emotions are a variable with all that will go into that game, for how special it will be for his Buffalo Bill teammates to be out there and honor DeMar Hamlin, that he is a part of this team that is trending toward an AFC championship and a potential Super Bowl run. The emotions are a variable that you really can't handicap. Here's what we can handicap, though, Joe. Buffalo owns New England in the last 3 years. This is not Tom Brady and the Patriots owning the Buffalo Bills. It is a very different regime. In the last 3 years, Joe, they will meet for the 7th time on Sunday, but in the previous 6 meetings, Buffalo has won 5 of the last 6, including that 47-7 rout in the postseason last year. It also includes Week 13 on a Thursday night. Buffalo, an easy victory, 24-10. They didn't even look all that good, but they easily covered as a 4-point favorite. The only game in that 6-game span New England has won was the disgusting, terrible weather game in Buffalo 2 years ago, where New England ran the football 46 times, only had 3 pass attempts, and still won the football game. That was last season. But Joe, when you look at what Buffalo will bring into this game, it's more so about the Patriots to me. They beat the Miami Dolphins last week. Fine. Sure. Great. New England still has not beaten a team with a winning record this year. The combined record of their opponents is 50-60-1 of the teams they have beaten. New England's not very good because of those struggles offensively. Buffalo wins this game. And if you think the emotions are going to be a benefit, if you think they truly honor their teammate in DeMar Hamlin, the largest alternate spread, Joe Lisi, that the FanDuel Sportsbook is offering up for the Buffalo and New England game is the Bills favored by 32.5 at plus 1,500. I have already bet it. Hammer the Buffalo Bills. All right, Joe. If New England then loses, the final spot in the AFC wildcard chase is up for grabs. The Dolphins need a Patriots loss, and with a victory over New York, Miami gets it. Joe, you already shared your thoughts between Skylar Thompson and Joe Flacco, now facing off against each other for a must-win game for Miami. Do you have confidence that the Dolphins against Joe Flacco and the Jets can get a victory when they absolutely need it?
No, I don't. It's unfortunate, but I don't feel that way. Even with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in that lineup, I have concerns about the defense of the Miami Dolphins wearing down in run support lately and obviously allowing big plays over the top in terms of the secondary. It's going to be difficult. I believe it'll be difficult. This will be a game that I believe will go down to the fourth quarter, a field goal type of game. And it wouldn't shock me if Joe Flacco goes down to Miami and South Beach and pulls it out. I hate to say that, but I just have a little more confidence in the New York Jets' defense and their coach right now than I do Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. It's a shame, but that's just the way I feel. He hasn't shown an ability to adjust. I think the Jets have better corners, the better front seven right now, and I think they could steal this ballgame from Skylar Thompson and the Miami Dolphins.
The line has shifted with Joe Flacco being named the starter. Miami was a small underdog most of the week. Now they are a 3-point favorite against the Jets. Again, if the odds go the way they are stacking up right now, Joe, at least on paper, obviously you play the football game, but at least on paper, if the Pats lose to the Bills, the Dolphins win against the Jets, Miami favored, the Patriots an underdog, Miami gets that third and final AFC wild card spot. But if the Dolphins lose to the Jets and the Patriots lose to the Bills, then the Pittsburgh Steelers with a victory over the Cleveland Browns, Joe, would get into the playoffs remarkably for a third straight year and the seventh time in the last nine seasons. And Mike Tomlin would continue his streak of now 16 years without a losing record as the head coach of the Steelers. Pittsburgh, Joe, a 2.5-point favorite against Cleveland. What's the approach?
Well, again, right now you have a hot team in Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett at the helm. Again, I think this game is going to be a lot more difficult than people think because of Deshaun Watson now shaking off the ring rust. He looked sloppy in the first half of that ball game against Washington, only had about 50 yards, 60 yards passing, and then somehow, some way, found Amari Cooper. He started to get it into gear, and I think that Cleveland would love nothing more than to keep Pittsburgh out of the playoffs. So I don't think they're going to lay down in this atmosphere. I think it'll be tough. I'm inclined to take Cleveland plus the 2.5. I know it's back-to-back road games, but something tells me Cleveland steps up. I like the over more than I like the side. I'm leaning into Cleveland, but I like the over 40.5 because I think both offenses could have success. And I think this game will come down to a field goal potentially, but I believe Cleveland does steal it in Pittsburgh this weekend.
If that were to happen, Joe, if the Patriots lose, the Dolphins lose, and the Steelers lose, like you think is a potential this week, and it was the Titans to win the AFC South battle between the Jaguars, Jacksonville could still get into the postseason as well. Those are the scenarios for the AFC. Again, as the odds would say, the most likely team into the postseason, the Miami Dolphins, as a 3-point favorite against the Jets, with the Patriots needing to lose, they are a 7-point underdog against the Buffalo Bills. Now, Joe, it's a little bit more cut and dry in the NFC, right? Philadelphia wins the NFC East Division and the NFC's number one overall seed with simply an outright victory against the New York Giants to round out the regular season. Jalen Hurts back at practice yesterday, Joe, working with the first team, taking a majority of those first team reps. The Eagles are a 14-point favorite against the New York Giants. Joe, all Philly needs to do is win that football game. Is there anything that you think is in the realm of possibility that would keep Philadelphia from winning the game, the NFC East Division, and to be the NFC's number one overall seed?
Winning the game, no. Covering the spread, yes. I believe New York can make it a closer game than people think. I think even though New York's already clinched a playoff spot, it is a divisional opponent. I think that because they got abused in MetLife earlier in the year and gave up well over 220 yards on the ground to Miles Sanders in that offense, I think they have a better defensive effort. You know, Tyrod Taylor might get some burn in this ballgame. I think right. That's a benefit. You know, you always want to have your backup ready in terms of a playoff environment. He's a mobile guy, has dealt with some injuries, but I think he can move the football. I think the one thing that we see with Philly's team right now from a defensive perspective, Dallas moved the football, New Orleans moved the football. If the Giants can move the football in this ballgame through the air, then now you have a bigger cause of concern for Philly long-term in terms of potentially getting to the NFC Championship game. So I want to see how this team responds. I think Dable's good enough to coach up the backups. Catching 14, I think definitely Philly wins, but it wouldn't shock me if it's a touchdown or less, Ben.
Live betting scenarios, Joe, for that afternoon slate, the 4:25 p.m. Eastern time kickoffs are going to be huge for you to take advantage of, because if Philly gets up considerably into the second half, they're up by 17, they don't need Jalen Hurts out there. Maybe they rest him and New York comes through the back door to cover. You can look for some of those big live spreads, because as that game is playing out, Joe, the Birds and the Giants, again, New York already clinched their first playoff berth since 2016. We expect to see Daniel Jones and maybe Saquon Barkley for a little bit of action, but mostly the backups on Sunday, as that line would indicate, two touchdowns in favor of Philly. But at the same time, Joe, it's another two-touchdown spread for the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. If somehow, some way, Philly loses to New York, San Francisco can be the NFC's number one overall seed with a victory over the Cardinals. Joe, how do you evaluate that two-touchdown spread for the Niners and the Cardinals, knowing that Brock Purdy still needs all those game reps here entering the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's a bloodbath. I mean, I think San Francisco beats them up really bad. They played in Mexico City earlier in the year, and they boat raced them in that ballgame, didn't they? Win by like 28, and George Kittle had a big day in terms of that matchup, if I'm not mistaken. So at the end of the day, I think San Francisco, from an offensive defensive line perspective, could run at will on them. I mean, Arizona, I mean, is absolutely atrocious in run support. Think about how bad Tampa Bay was in terms of the rushing attack a couple of weeks ago on Christmas, and then all of a sudden Leonard Fournette and Rashad White had success on that front seven. What do you think is going to happen with Christian McCaffrey and that offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers? They're not going to have to do much. I think they win this ball game by 24 or more. I really think it's a bloodbath. I think Arizona's caved in and thrown in the towel, Ben.
The Cardinals have lost five straight games. Their future, anybody's guess. Will Cliff Kingsbury be there? Probably not. We might be talking on Monday, Joe, about Cliff Kingsbury being one of the first coaches to be fired on Black Monday. San Francisco, by the way, has already won nine straight games. They could make it a sweet double-digit 10 entering the postseason. And again, if Philly wins, they're a two-touchdown favorite, and the Niners win, the Niners would then be the number two seed in the NFC playoffs. There is still a hope, Joe, for the Dallas Cowboys as a seven-point favorite on the road against the Commanders. If Philly loses, Dallas would be the number one seed in the NFC East. They would win the divisional crown, that is. With a Philly loss and a Cowboys victory over the Commanders, they would also need San Francisco to lose for them to be the number one overall seed in the NFC. So, Joe, that is how the NFC top of the market looks. But there's only one team, Joe, in the wild card chase in the NFC that controls its own destiny: Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers, a 4.5-point favorite against the Lions in the true regular season finale for 2022 on Sunday night at Lambeau. Joe, as you continue to break down this game, what is the key matchup between the Packers and the Lions?
It's the rushing attack of Green Bay. If they can run on the front seven of Detroit, they're gonna be just fine. I think they cover this number. I think Green Bay's moving on. At the end of the day, my heart tells me Detroit, but I can't go against Aaron Rodgers, and I can't go against the rushing attack of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Interesting. So I would agree, Joe. Green Bay enters this game having won four straight games. The Lions have also won seven of their last nine, but in terms of trusting a team in this moment, in a quarterback in this moment, it would be Aaron Rodgers having the discernible edge over Jared Goff. But I have a +330 ticket that I had from June for the Lions to make the playoffs. I'm having some fun, at least I hope, entering Sunday night. That could be a winner-take-all game. We'll discuss that scenario up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back for a few more moments on FFC as we set the stage for week number 18. Joe, we talked about the real regular season finale, the last game of 2022 in the regular season at Lambeau, the frozen tundra, the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. Joe, it's really simple for the Packers: win and they are in to the postseason. However, if Green Bay were to lose and Detroit were to win, the Lions would need a Seattle loss to the Rams earlier in the day for Detroit to get into the postseason. And Joe, the Seattle Seahawks are a 6-point favorite against the LA Rams. The Lions-Packers game, Joe, could be winner-take-all if the Rams pull off the upset. Do you think there's a chance of that?
No, I don't. I think we saw the Rams, you know, high period on Christmas Day where they boat raced the Denver Broncos. I know Baker Mayfield has looked a little bit better in terms of the scheme, but from a defensive perspective, I don't think they could shut down Kenneth Walker. I think DK Metcalf gets back on track, and I think Geno in this type of spot can attack that secondary over the top, and I have enough confidence in Carroll to get the victory. Typically, these teams play very close games, but with the type of personnel that the Rams have, I just don't see it in this matchup.
Seattle just 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the spread as a favorite this year, including just over a month ago in LA against the Rams. They were booked as a 6.5-point, 7-point favorite. They won the football game late, but by only 4, did not cover. It's interesting, Joe. It's the real catch-22 of Week 18. If Seattle wins, they kick off at 4:25 p.m. Eastern, ahead of the Sunday night football game, of course, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. If Seattle wins, that eliminates Detroit from postseason contention, but the Seahawks would need the Lions to beat the Packers, so Green Bay suffers a loss for Seattle to get into the postseason. All very confusing. All of the implications and the clinching scenarios entering the regular season finale of week number 18 in the National Football League. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us all week long on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Have a great weekend.